Okay, and welcome to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. Glad to be with you, and we're going to open up a creeped out line. I'll tell you why. My little 8.5-year-old grandchild, Mia, loves The Twilight Zone, and she loves the episode of Talkie Tina. And she asked me one day, she said, Papa, would you get me that so I can keep it? So I bought her a DVD on The Twilight Zone, and then one day, up popped on the internet a Talkie Tina doll. So I bought a couple of them, and I bought one for her, and I sent it her way. And now she's afraid of it. She had it on her counter, and my daughter, her mother, would move it every once in a while. And so little Mia actually thought the thing was alive. And she said, Mommy, I don't want to see it anymore. So she would turn it around. You couldn't see it. There's a picture of this thing, by the way, at coasttocoastam.com. Sean's got it posted there. It's the feature story. And so she'd turn it away, and you couldn't see its face. And so then my daughter, you know, said, well, Mia, why don't you just put it in your toy bin? And Mia said, no, it'll crawl out of there at night. But I'm going to play it. It talks, by the way, and I'm going to play it here for you. Here you go. You ready? There's another. Here's one more. Kind of creepy, isn't it? Well, we're going to open up a creeped out line in addition to open lines. That phone number for you is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Open Lines now on Coast to Coast AM, and we shall pick it up by going to Texas. First-time caller, Ken, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Ken.
Well, good morning. Top of the morning to you, George.
You too, Kenneth. What's new?
Well, I wanted to really kind of talk with those last two guests that you had, but there is a little bit of a legend, you know, with a lot of the Native American, that when you see the little people, you know, you're liable to lose somebody close to you. And I know when we bought our first house in Amarillo, my kids kept telling me, there's something in that basement. We had a partial basement and a crawl space. And finally, I decided to go ahead and look in there, and sure enough, there's a gnome up under our crawl space.
No way!
And sucker just kind of looked at me and turned around and walked off, but the eyes were just piercing. You know, it was like they see right through you. Go ahead.
Did it scare you?
Not really. It was almost kind of peaceful, but almost like a preparatory feeling. But shortly after that, my grandfather did die. And then up in Washington, we were up seeing my father just before he died, too, and saw a gnome there at my brother's place. And I really feel like they were preparatory. You know, they were making you ready for what was going to come.
Yeah, that could be. Now, did they communicate at all with you, Ken?
No, sir, they just looked, you know, and there was kind of a benevolent look, but, you know, they were piercing. You know, it was like they looked right through you.
But at no time did you feel threatened or anything like that?
No, sir, not at all.
No, that's a good story. You know, sometimes in your house, you hear things moving around in the attic and things like that. I've always wondered if there's a little creature up there somewhere. Next up, we go to Reno, Nevada. Let's go to Philip. Hey, Philip, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Okay, I have a question, and I have a relate something that happened to me.
All right.
Okay, when I started studying metaphysics when I was 11 years old, and now I'm 50 years old, and shamanism and all that stuff, and I found out that the different wood sprites and the water sprites, they enjoy my power animal. They like to play with them. And now my question is, are you familiar with the community of Finehorn?
The community of Finehorn? No, I'm not.
I believe it's in, like, it was in New Zealand in the early 70s.
Okay, what about them?
Okay, they used to grow these enormous vegetables, and they were attributed to earth angels. And they wrote a book about it.
Okay, I'll do a little Google search on that, Philip. No, I'm not at all. Next up, we go to Santa Cruz, California. Joaquin on the wild card line. It's your turn. Hey there, Joaquin.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, George, I need your help in my family coast to coast.
What's wrong?
It's about 25 years I've been looking for a movie, and it's a mystical, magical movie, like Viking-ish, kind of like. And it's about a guy that goes look for his father, and he has a magic horse, magic sword, and he catches a small little dwarf. He has the power of the wind. And also, there's a war, and he tells his... this general tells the men to make a mountain of men so his horse can climb it. And he climbs up on top of there, and he sees where the enemy's coming. And also in the movie, his mother has a magic blanket where she stores food in there magically.
Hmm.
And it's
driving you nuts. You don't know the name of the movie.
I know. I've called up the Children's Festival all over Germany, France.
Was it an American-made movie?
It was a foreign movie.
A foreign movie, so we really don't even know who starred in it then.
No,
we?
And it's been about 25 years I've been looking for it. And if there's anybody out there that can...
And do we know if it was a new movie 25 years ago, or was it still old then?
No, it was made in 1938, sort of like, and you know, it has the long ponytails, like, you know, the fat lady
yeah.
things, and Viking sort of like type people. But you know, that little man, that has the power of wind. He catches him, and
maybe somebody will fast blast me this one.
God, if I could, 25 years I've been looking for it. And you know what? He gets thrown into a dungeon, and they don't feed him, but he's fat, and he's eating his mother magically, you know, stored food inside of this.
Yes. Black and white or color movie?
It's a black and white.
Black and white, all right.
And it's like old. And it's, I remember the horse, the magic horse, and the sword, and the magic sword, and
It wasn't one of those old Sinbad movies, was it?
No, it's foreign. It's actually from Switzerland or something.
Okay, with subtitles and stuff like that?
No. It's just, you can tell that the lips are kind of like moving wrong.
Okay, they synced it. Yeah.
Yeah, and 25 years I've been looking at it. I've seen it once when I was about 13, and then I seen it again when I was, I guess, 20.
You have any idea what it was called? Any words in the title?
Idia Morris or something.
Idia Morris?
Yeah, Idia Morris or Idia. And that's all I can remember. And it's so fantastically put together, you know, about his mother's sense.
I'll check Fast Blasts, and we'll see if anybody picks up on that.
Can you call me back or have to call me back?
You get to just listen to the show forever. That's all.
Yeah, and also, God, I love you all out there in the world, and I love you too, George, and I'm listening to you every night since forever, and the topics, and I just like, I want to say hello to everybody out there in the world, and keep listening.
All right, you got it. And if somebody gives me a couple good titles, I'll just mention it on the air and maybe strike a bell with you. Let's go next to our creeped out line, Steve in Claremont, California. What creeped you out, Steven?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Okay, this is a story about backpacking up in the San Gabriel Canyon, just above the Los Angeles area.
Sure.
And it was summertime, and it's a three and a half to four hour hike to get to this spot. There's no roads. You park at the end of the road, and then you hike up. And a buddy of mine had been doing it for years, him and I. And so we did it like we normally did it, and we got up there on a Friday morning, and we hiked the 4 hours, and we set up camp at about noon, and didn't see anybody up there like we normally did. We never saw anybody up there. Well, that Friday night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, now this is like dead black. You can't see your hand in front of you. We're laying in this little washout with sleeping bags right next to the stream. So there's kind of like a step next to us where somebody could walk up and look down on us. But, you know, they're about 5 feet above us because it's a little washout next to the stream, as I said. And we were laying there and heard a little rustling, and then there were lights flashed on our head. And we just froze, didn't move. So after a while, the lights went off, and we just didn't even get up. Have no idea how human beings in the at night could have possibly gone up there. And if they did, they would have certainly said something like, hey, what are you guys doing here too? It was just the unbelievably creepiest thing. You have to understand the circumstances because it is so dark and it is so far away. The only thing we're doing up there is playing card games and listening to KFI because it's nighttime during the day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Streams. So it was creepy.
Never happen again.
I don't think so. I'm not inclined to do that too often again. Hey, George, can you get Kathleen Keating back on the show?
Oh, yeah. You know what? We're working on that with her. She may have taken a hiatus.
Wow.
But we're checking that out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Couple fast blasts in on that strange movie. And this was made in this country, though it won awards all over Europe. It was called Willow with Val Kilmer. And I don't know if that might have been what you're looking for, but it had to do with warriors and everything. But I'll keep looking. But that might have been one of them. That might have been one of them. As a matter of fact, they talk about a castle named Tir Esleen. So maybe. But this was made in this country. So I'm not sure if that's exactly what you were talking about. All right, next up, we go to Jeff in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Yeah.
You know this last annular full solar eclipse that happened?
Yes.
Now, that was on the new moon. So, but here in California, of course, you can't see a solar eclipse at night. It was on the other side of the world.
Right, right.
You were back in Los Angeles. You know what time that solar eclipse occurred here on the West Coast?
Was it what time?
It was 11:11 p.m.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, we've had all this activity with the Eureka quake and, of course, the Port au Prince quake,
mm-hmm.
all in line with that. And, you know, it used to be said that the eclipses forebode quite ominous things, such as what happened. And maybe those folks weren't so far off if they went to the Jim Berkland School of looking at these eclipses and full and new moons.
And also, you know, 1,000 quakes now at Yellowstone. That's crazy.
Well, it all seems to be adding up worldwide. There's, of course, been the ones near where Art Bell is now down there in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
It's of concern all around the Ring of Fire and beyond. And the next solar eclipse that's coming up is on 7/11, which hopefully with that 11 in there once again, but 7/11 sounds a little luckier. Maybe it'll
I hope so. Hey, thanks for the call.
One other quick thing.
Yeah, Jake. Sure.
And it's along the lines of creepy things. I've been seeing a commercial for the post office on TV that I'm sure you must have something to do with. It involves a clown, and if it fits, it ships. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Well, it's a clown on the other side of the room, and his family's looking in. The postman comes up and says, yeah, we got to send this gift back. And, well, he doesn't seem so bad. And they look down again, and he's right at the doorstep, and they go, ooh, like, kind of like what you said about the talking Tina that it moved around. And the postman says, oh, yeah. That's got to go. And every time I see it, of course, I think of what you said about clowns. I thought maybe you wrote it or inspired it.
That maybe we inspired it. Hey, thanks. By the way, another one on the movie. This one could be it. This one is German, and Elkies out of Lomita, California, says it was called Feindhorn. I'll spell it. Feindhorn. So check that one out. And see if that was the movie you were looking for. There's nothing worse. There's another one that says Feindhorn as well. So maybe that's it. Very interesting. There's nothing worse than thinking of something and you just can't get the answer for it. It drives you crazy, doesn't it? Well, thank God for computers now, though. You can go and start searching and hopefully you get the answer. Let's go next to Jeff in Missouri on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, long time.
Yeah.
One quick creepy thing in regards to that television commercial.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, Chatty Cathy from Geico.
I remember Chatty Cathy.
The
sister had one.
Yeah, the Geico commercial says, when the commercial says, pull the string to hear what she says next. It says, pull that string one more time, I dare you.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the one I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
As I had a dream of a nuclear holocaust a couple of years ago.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. Well, I had it on and off for a couple of years, then it just went away.
Don't tell me it's coming back again, Jeffrey.
Well, it did around the day after Christmas. We were traveling on the new highway after the new highway was finished.
40? Yeah.
Yeah. Going to the Science Center.
Okay.
Us and me and my family were going, you know, for an after Christmas type getaway.
Sure.
And it came to me in the middle of the thing, and it did not strike me, but it was the highway we were traveling on where I saw it.
How good have your dreams been in the past?
Not that good.
Let's hope they're not good now.
But
huh?
Anyway, I got a suggestion for a possible guest host around the Halloween time.
Yeah.
Elvira, like maybe for an hour, a guest host.
You know, we tried getting her on. She was on once with me. And
well, I mean, as a guest host for an hour.
Yeah.
We'll not see. So much as a guest, but a guest host.
That's Arts Night.
Well, I'm not talking about Halloween, but in that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
In that Halloween time frame.
I'll consider it.
Oh, it was just an idea.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Uh-huh. All right, next up, let's go to Mark in Florida, first-time caller line. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. I'm calling with regards to your two tests from the last hour, and it seems like I really didn't understand until I heard your program tonight concerning, like, when I put things in my room or my bedroom or what, when I thought I misplaced them, and I never thought of the possibility that these entities, you know, could be at work, because the thing of it is, when I can't find something like where I would misplace my keys or whatever, then I would get very angry, and I didn't realize.
And you know you put them there, and you know you put them right there on the table.
Exactly, and yet I don't see them. And then later on, you know, I don't know, after I maybe don't think about it, then it reappeared, and I don't know. It's,
I know.
I just never thought of it like that.
It kind of put things into perspective for us, Mark. And they said a couple things. One, once in a while, the creatures will move those things around and then bring them back. And the other thing they said that I found fascinating was that we look at things in different stages with our eyes, and it's very possible they're right there, but we just don't see it. I'll be back as open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's Friday, and it's time for our traditional shout-out, and thank you for supporting Coast to Coast AM around the country. And all over the place, number one in New York on WABC, and Los Angeles on KFI, number one in Chicago on WLS, and on and on and on. Thank you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Streamlink members, thank you for everything you do. And, of course, they're working on some great new technological advances just for you. XM Satellite Channel 165, then the various chat rooms, the NighthawkZone.com folks headed up by Bad Boy. Say a little prayer for Moondog. I do believe he had his bypass surgery this week, though they have not emailed me on what has happened. And this was, of course, Prayer Friday for those people who are on the list, so you know what to do about that. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the Twitter links, and on and on and on. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the number one program at night in the world. And our special topic line, the Creeped Out line, 818-817-0021. You know, over the last several months, the History Channel has been airing a program called Ancient Astronauts, and they have interviewed some great experts on that field. And I had the pleasure of being interviewed for that based on the program here. And they have decided now to do four more of these programs. And these producers have just done a wonderful job. But they spent a couple hours with us yesterday in the studio videotaping questions and answers. So they're going to use that as segments in the next four ancient alien programs. But the producer from the History Channel was telling me it is the highest rated show they've ever had on the History Channel. Isn't that something? And I bet most of it is because you were watching it. And next week, ABC's Nightline is coming in to tape a program for a future air date, and I'll let you know when that's going to be. They are interested in the phenomena of coast to coast, in the fact that so many people are leaving mainstream media to listen to programs like this. And so they're doing a complete program on coast to coast and just what is happening around the world. Very interested in our discussions about the non-flu pandemic and issues like that. So they're coming in to do a pretty in-depth program on Coast to Coast AM. ABC Nightline, that's pretty good. I used to remember watching that during the Ted Koppel days. You know that all started, that program originated after the hostage situation in Iran a long time ago. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Richard in Alaska. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I love you, man.
Wow,
you know what?
Thanks, Richard.
My prediction is, first, that you are going to be going way past Rush Limbaugh because of all the guests you've had on raising the consciousness and stuff like that. And as you have more of them, the consciousness in your program will grow exponentially. But anyway, have you ever had Stuart Wilde on as a guest?
Oh, yeah, many times. He's great.
But he talks about in his book, The Force, on page 30, that, you know, he talks about this spirits and stuff like that, and how you could be walking through the woods, and you'll see an energy pattern, but your mind won't be able to recognize it. So your subconscious mind turns it into a symbol that you can recognize, and you'll be walking through, and you'll say, oh, I saw a leprechaun on the rock, you know, playing a flute or whatever, you know. But, you know, that's the kind of peculiarity that the mind plays with symbols and stuff like that.
Yes, Stuart's a good guy. Yes, he still thinks there's going to be a major earthquake up there on the West Coast somewhere, higher up. Up there near Seattle.
God, I hope not. My daughter's in that area.
Oh, I know. I know the feeling. I hope if anything happens, it's thousands and thousands of years from now. God forbid on those people, but we don't want it during our time.
Have you had Neil Donald Walsh on?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the more you're going to have of these guys on, I'm going to tell you what, stuff will just grow like crazy on your show, I believe.
What a story about him, though, Richard. Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, he was living in his car. That's how destitute he was, sleeping in his car. And one day he woke up and he felt like he was having a conversation with God. He started writing things down, turned into a best-selling book, and now he's off and away.
Yeah, he's got like a half a dozen books out right now.
Yeah.
And they're amazing books, you know. It gives you a lot of good insight onto, I guess you could say, God and the consciousness of the universe kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
But one thing before I leave.
Sure.
You have to read The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. Bared Teeth Balding. It's a six-volume set. And I promise you, that'll be the best set you've ever read in your life.
Maybe do one a year, I'll read. Something like that.
Well, trust me, these are easy reads, and they're real enjoyable.
Okay. Thanks, Richard.
You have a great day.
Be well. Good weekend for you. Let's go to the Creeped Out Line. David in Virginia, you're up with us. Hey, David, what happened?
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I was in Iraq, first Gulf War, and I got a picture of this guy to prove this, all right? So. You have to excuse me. I'm kind of nervous.
That's all right. You're doing fine.
I was in a recon platoon, and of course, you know, the recon is the first one out, and we had to secure the airfield where Schwarzenegger and the Iraqi general was to meet. And the way you could pick out that airfield was it was at the base of a mountain, and the mountain was out probably about 8 miles away, and you could still see the mountain. And we were moving forward cautiously, you know, making sure that nothing was going to happen. And this guy appeared. He just showed up out of nowhere. And the platoon leader and the platoon sergeant say, "Don't shoot," you know. And I was thinking.
Yeah.
And we ran out there because I was a dismount. And we ran out there, and we checked him, and he had no weapons. The only thing he had was he had his turban on, and he was standing there, and the only way I can describe it is he was standing there like a Jesus pose. And he just sat there and watched us go by.
How did you feel knowing he was just out there staring?
I don't know where he came from. One minute he wasn't there, the next minute he was. And I didn't know what to do. And I walked up to him because the only thing I knew to do was secure him, zip tie his hands. But I was like, I couldn't touch him. And I've never told anybody this, so I figured I'd tell you guys, everybody, this. But I think that was the closest to a biblical figure I'd ever been.
I was going to say, was it angelic?
No. He was an actual person.
Okay.
Because I grabbed him by his arm because I didn't want nobody to shoot him.
So he was physical. And you could touch him.
I touched him.
Yeah.
And when I touched him, I'm not going to say it was a shock or a... It wasn't like a, it was like peace came on me,
Yeah, a calming effect.
And I could have swore it was Muhammad.
Interesting.
And and after that, everything calmed down for me until I got home. But, the mission went well. And, of course, we secured the airfield because that's where Schwarzenegger came. And I was probably about 20 yards away from the tent where they had that meeting at.
That's fascinating.
And like I said, George, I have a picture of this guy. And you can, in the background, you can see where the airfield was.
All right, send it our way if you can, David.
All right, so I just sent it to your thing Coast to Coast.
Yeah, George at coasttocoastam.com.
I got one other thing. Maybe somebody can confirm what this thing was. Grafenwehr in Germany, there was always this loud turbine sound. And Grafenwehr is where you did all the shooting of the tanks. And, we did maneuvers on that base there. And I asked everybody what that turbine noise was, and everybody told me to shut up and mind my business.
It's got to be they were probably digging some kind of underground facility.
That's what I'm thinking, too, because only a turbine could make a sound like that. And there is no reason for a turbine to be out in the middle of a desert, out in the middle of a forest like that.
Exactly.
And everybody told me to shut up and mind my business.
They knew what was going on. Thanks, David. Is there still that hum at Kokomo? Huh? The Kokomo hum? Next up, we go to John in Georgia. You're up with us. Hey, John. Thanks for holding.
Hey, George.
Hi.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Good to have you with us.
You ready to go for a ride?
Let's do it.
I was in L.A. for the Chatsworth quake. And I've been having high anxiety over earthquakes ever since.
And that's the same one as the Northridge one, right?
No, the Chatsworth, it became the Sylmar. They kind of switched names.
Okay, that was
72.
That was way before my time. Okay.
Okay. And so anything that came on the news about earthquakes or newspapers, I read about it. And then I saw this USGS documentary on a forensic geologist that did a study on the San Andreas Fault.
Okay.
And he said it hits every 151 years,
mm-hmm.
give or take 20 years. And the last time it hit was 1857. So if you add the two together, you get 2008.
We're overdue.
Yeah. And then it was about 5 years ago, I was watching the History Channel, and they did a documentary on the newly found Bible codes. And it's called Bible Code Countdown to Armageddon.
Well, I got time. I'm going to make a prediction about an earthquake. I'm not an earthquake predictor by any means, but I've talked to Jim Berkland enough now where, I think something's going on. We've got a full moon coming up next week, Friday, Saturday. And we've had this incredible amount of rain. There's strange cases of animals just disappearing, running off for the hills. I think Southern California, I'm predicting, is going to have an earthquake. I don't know how big. To me, it's a three is big. Coming from the Midwest, but I think they're going to have an earthquake in Southern California
this year.
I mean, like next week.
I've got April 12th.
Okay.
There's a Bible code on April 12th.
All right. We'll see what happens. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Stockton, California, west of the Rockies. We've got Leon on the line. Hey, Leon.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay. Thank you.
I'm a longtime listener, second-time caller. I feel really blessed to be on your program again, sir.
Good.
All right. Well, I have an interesting story. I apologize in advance because I think it's miscategorized on your call line. Should be more of the creeped-out category. But
all I have is your name and where you are, so they don't want me to know anything.
Well, you're ahead of the game on me on that. All right. Well, I had a strange incident happen to me about 5 years ago. I lived with my grandmother from about 2003 to approximately 2005, and she died in 2004, unfortunately. That's a little bit of the background story.
Okay.
But I was sleeping, and it was sort of in the mid-morning, about 10 o'clock, and I remember having this very lucid dream where I was trapped inside of this pyramidal type of temple. It felt like maybe the basement of the temple, some kind of vault, very small room. And before me in this room were four or five women witches or sorcerers. And they were looking at me all sort of in a, you know, all staring at me at the same time. And they had this malicious intent in their eyes. I mean, they had some kind of very meaningful purpose to, you know, by staring at me. And I felt it to my stomach, to the pit of my stomach. And I tried to pull myself away from the dream because I felt that I was in danger. And I'm usually able to do that within lucid dreams. I'm usually able to wake myself up from those.
Hmm.
I had very, very difficult time breaking myself away from their gaze. And I finally was able to do it. But as I was transitioning into reality, waking state, it felt like something was, like a hook was hooked behind my stomach.
Oh, my.
And pulling at me. And I felt this tension in my stomach, like a tether that was pulling out of my stomach. And it really was uncomfortable. I mean, I felt like I was in mortal danger. I didn't know what it was. I felt nauseated. So I got up from my bed, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I hope to God that doesn't happen again. I hope that doesn't repeat that sensation. So I walked into my grandmother's room. It was immediately adjacent to my bedroom. Sat down at a chair. She's in her room laying down to sleep. And I guess me walking into the room awoke her, and she got up from her bed. I see it as clear as day, and she looked at me and said, are you all right? And I said, I'm feeling okay, Grandma. I don't really feel like talking right now. She usually liked to talk things out.
Right.
If I had a problem. And she had a sixth sense about it, and she knew that I was in trouble. So I said, Grandma, you know what? I really don't feel like conversing about it. I really don't feel like talking about it. She says, okay, are you feeling okay? Are you sure? And so she just laid back down, went back to sleep, supposedly. So I got up. I was still feeling funky and walked into the bathroom and walked around the house, walked into the kitchen, and it felt like I was like 15 stories up on a building getting this really bad acrophobia feeling, like fear of heights, which I don't have. It almost felt like I was like a tightrope walker.
Huh.
Very sick to my stomach, but I was physically there. And, I mean, I was checking my body. I was saying, okay, you know, I had this really weird dream. Everything's fine. I'm still physically present. So I walked back into her bedroom after a time, and she was asleep, and she woke up again and sat up right in her bed. I said, you know, Grandma, I really apologize for that. You know, I felt kind of sick, and I had this really weird dream, and I'm feeling okay now. I feel like talking, you know, if you want to talk. Looks like you're awake now. And she says, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, about 10 minutes ago, I know you woke up and it looked like you were concerned about my, you know, I was feeling a little distressed and you looked like you were concerned about me. And so I didn't want to talk. I apologize. She says, I don't remember that. I was asleep. And I said, are you sure? We just had a conversation about it. and it was the weirdest thing. She could not remember sitting up in her bed and talking to me. And she says, no, I've been asleep this whole time. I just woke up right now. But I remember really clearly, George, that she sat up 10 minutes prior to me going back into her bedroom, and she was fully awake, fully aware, and I saw her there. And thinking back on it now, you know, hindsight's 20/20, it seems like that incident was sort of constructed in my mind, perhaps, and I was still sort of in a dream state / waking state. And I just have no logical explanation for what happened, because I saw her clearly sit up, George, and she was talking to me. And that second time around, I went in there. She completely denied it. She said that never happened. I just woke up right now, and I had to sort of repeat what I was experiencing. You know, I had a bad dream, and I was feeling nauseated. So I have no explanation for that, and it's very, very strange to me.
Well, you know, you could have been dreaming it.
It's quite possible, yeah. Because, you know, I've had other experiences just really quickly, you know, being awake in my body and not seeing my arm right in front of my face, waving my arm, my appendage right in front of my face, and it being completely invisible. I've had that happen to me a few times upon awakening from a dream or from just sleep.
Now, you're having some strong dreams, I'm telling you. Hey, we're going to hit the break pretty soon. I want to tell you what's in store for next week before we come back for more open lines here. On our Monday program, Dr. Jeffrey Long joins us, and he's going to be talking about some groundbreaking new data about near-death experiences and some very compelling evidence. I'm looking forward to that. Brand new guest coming up on Tuesday, Richard Bandler, as he wants to talk about the powerful forces of the mind and how to harness it to do some incredible things. On Wednesday, John Hoag will join us in the program, and John will be talking about the prophecies of Nostradamus and the predictions for 2012. And then on Thursday, of course, roving reporter Linda Moulton Howell joins us, mysterious lights and crop circles, along with a discussion about full body scanners, the Death Stars, high strangeness, and the abduction syndrome in Scotland. And then on Friday, got to whittle off a vacation day. Art Bell sits in for me. He'll be live in the Philippines with his guest, physicist Michio Kaku. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more open lines. Don't touch your dial.